And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am your host, Dougie Almeida, coming to you live from Deerfield Beach, Florida, an undisclosed location where I come and hide when I come back to Florida. And as you can tell, my forehead is glistening from the humidity here in Florida, which is about 3,000%. I've already lost about 18 pounds of water weight this afternoon, and I'm looking forward to the show. You guys are ready for a good time. We have some good friends. I got my good friend, Annie Forrester, joining us today, and my new friend and comedian here in South Florida, who's just tearing up, Brittany Brave, will be joining us in a moment. And, well, why not wait? Why wait? You know what I'm saying? I'm sweating already. You guys can tell. Let's all join in together. How about that? Welcome.
Howdy.
Howdy. I'm on slow motion because I'm on my parents' shitty Wi-Fi, so I'm going to try to move like a mime is what I'm going to try to do. Really slow and purposeful. That's it.
You should just go ask your neighbor for their password.
I really should. I should fuck the neighbor is what I should do. No, I'm sorry.
That's not at all what I said. Yeah. I just was like, no.
I know. I know. It's just something I've had on my mind already. Okay.
Now I'd like to see a photo of the neighbor because I'd like to know what caused Brittany to just throw that out, because I don't think I've ever lived by a neighbor. I don't think I ever had a neighbor that I wanted to bang.
Let me tell you, Andy? It's not even about looks at this point. It's just about the fact that I would get to get out of my parents' house. That's it. Hmm.
Yeah, just imagine how long it would take for you to work your way off the block.
Right.
You have a lot of, that's a chain of events. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys and gal. And Andy, you've been on the show before. We've worked together before.
Yes, sir.
Brittany, we've worked together. I don't know. We haven't worked actually together. I don't think we've been
not
on the show
directly,
together.
Not directly, no. Mm-mm.
But we actually survived the South Florida Improv holiday party where everybody caught COVID.
Nice.
Oh, my God. Nice. Yeah.
Did you catch it that at that time?
No, I didn't, because I had it two times before. I lived in New York, and that's what brought me down to Miami, back home to Miami, was because of COVID. I had COVID before COVID was trendy, if you will.
Good.
Really?
Gosh.
Yeah.
So you've had it twice?
Twice, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So when everybody was getting it at the holiday party, I was like, okay, losers, you're about a year and a half behind. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that was the second time I've had it. I caught it for the second time myself. So,
wait, so you did get it, Dougie? You got it?
Yeah.
After the party? Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was, but I feel good. I feel like I was boosted. I feel like, and who'd have thought that if you were going there to kiss some ass, you would have caught COVID? Because every comic there was there to kiss ass to try to get points with the improv.
Oh, my gosh. It's so painful to watch. I'd rather have COVID than watch comics try to get booked at the improv. Okay. I would. Nice. It's like, I swear I can work clean. I'm so funny. Did you know I did this one thing once? I'm like, just sit down and have a vodka tonic. Like, relax.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you guys both get work at the improvs. Andy's at the Raleigh Improv a bit. I've never been to that room.
Yeah, that's a new one. They opened that up December of 2018, I think it was. And I was there for their very first show. And they liked me a lot, and they had me back numerous times. So it's awesome.
There you go.
I've not. I haven't gotten to go around to a bunch of other ones, but that one for sure, they like me. And yeah, it's fun.
Nice.
And it's a really nice club.
Look at
too.
You
it's
getting like, past at clubs the old fashioned way by just showing up, being professional, and being funny. Look at you.
That's always been my goal, is to just kind of do it the old fashioned way.
My Buddha. Yeah.
Right.
That's crazy. It's great. Now that, getting asked back, there's certain things as comics we love, right? One is the initial booking, right? And so you weigh them out. What's more powerful, the initial booking or getting the call back in your mind?
Call back.
I think the call back, because the call back says, we liked you, we liked what you did, and we'd like to have you back. And, I think a lot of times one of the difficult parts, not difficult, but I mean, a lot of people, a lot of comics that come through, they want a someone who can work clean to open for them. I just, by chance, I can do that. And so they'll call me. They'll be like, hey, can you, you know, and because when I started, somebody told me, he's like, look, you can do whatever you want, but if you can work clean, you'll just get more work.
Right.
You can open for anybody.
Yeah.
Right. I say fuck off to work and clean. I really do. Sorry. Can you even?
No. I get it. I get it.
I can work clean. That's the trade part of being a comedian. I feel like there's the product and then the service, and the product is what it is that you want to put out free of anything. And the service is the ability to be a comedian and be able to show up and provide comedy and make people laugh. So because of I want to make this my trade and my job and be pro, like, I can work clean, but it's never my preferred status, you know? Like, I would much rather just be able to show up. And the thing is, like, I don't think I'm filthy either, but I think I would much rather always show up as myself. But I understand the nature of the game. Yeah.
I think because I started doing improv comedy first, and that was like Whose Line Is It Anyway type thing. And so that was family friendly. So when I went to go do stand up, I was like, oh, I'm going to be edgier. But the thing is like, I am like an Eagle Scout, and I don't talk about sex with my wife. Yeah. I'm not going to do it with a room full of strangers. So, like,
you don't talk about sex with your wife because it's not happening, Andy. Okay, listen, no, I'm kidding.
Anyway.
Did I just read you for filth?
So, yeah. But that's the thing. Like, I don't, it's one of those things, like, I'm not comfortable talking about that with anybody. It's just sort of, I don't know if it's how I was raised or whatever, but that doesn't, like, I'm not one of those guys who sits around talking to other dudes about that sort of thing. Like, never have, never will. It's just not my thing. So that's like when I was trying to be like a little edgier when I started doing stand up, it's like, yeah, that's not really me. It doesn't really fit with who I am. So
yeah,
it's fine. I mean, it's not that I've never cursed on stage or anything. That's not the case. It's just, it's like when I, you know, anyway. So yeah.
No, totally. I feel the opposite. I feel the opposite. Like, I feel like as if whenever I'm forced to be, I can do clean, and it is a nice challenge as a comic and writer to do clean, to see that you can, right? And, yep. And work a premise back and really slow it down. But I am the exact opposite, where I was raised very Italian Catholic and like a maniac. So I'd much rather just let it rip and let it fly. But yeah.
And I love that. Listen, I'm telling you, I think, I was listening to Mark Maron today, and he was talking to Jeff Foxworthy, and Jeff Foxworthy was like, I'm going to come to your show. And Mark's like, you know, it's not really family friendly. And Jeff goes, I've been doing this for almost 40 years. I'm good. I've seen everything. So I'm the same way. Like, I've seen everything. I love it. You know, like, so it doesn't matter if somebody's blue. I don't sit there and go like, oh, that's like, you know, if it doesn't,
it's their style. It's what they want to do.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. Like, nobody, we shouldn't all be the same anyway. So I like it, man. I like all kinds of different comics. So I love it.
Funny is funny. And I like, because Andy and I were talking about that before in the pre-show, is that like cruise ship comedy, you know, it's like, I know comics that do it because it pays a lot better than, let's say, comedy clubs. Like, much like you, Brittany, I don't like to be restricted. I like to be able to feel free to do whatever I want to say, you know. So that aspect of that business, I never really wanted to do. And like you, I can work clean because that's the business side of it, right? Comedy club says, hey, can you be clean for 25 minutes? I'm like, yeah, of course, you know. But at the same time, I would much rather be able to just say what I want to say. You're right. That's part of the, you got to work. And if you want to work, sometimes that's what it takes. And, but if you, like you mentioned, the product with your voice, what it is you really, you know, what you really love doing is unrestricted. And that's that's the way I feel about it. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we do agree. Clean definitely gets you more work, because there's a lot of headliners or people that don't want dirty comics and or really funny comics to open for them. we have those folks.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You get all these restrictions. Not be clean. No crowd work. Do this joke. Don't do that joke. Do this. Don't do
have you,
that.
Have and you ever had like, have you ever guys ever had that? You ever had a comic tell you stop, no more crowd work, or don't tell that joke? Yes. And if you ever have that?
Yes, I feel like I've opened. Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah.
No. You were talking. I apologize.
Brandy, go ahead.
No, I've opened for wonderful, incredible comedians, and you can tell a comedian's security immediately and how they treat their openers and the people that are also on their show or hosting at the club that weekend, like Jessica Kearse and Judy Gold, like they're fucking fantastic. And they're like, be you, do you, like whatever it is you feel, this is just as much your show as it is everybody else. And then I've also opened for people of which I won't drop names that have been like, don't do this and don't do that and no crowd work and please be clean and also wear your hair like this and don't do this joke and don't do, and you're like, oh boy, this is stressful. Wow. This is not fun. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I had a headliner one time tell me to put my dick to the left of my pants instead of the right. And I'm like, well, that wasn't my dick.
Don't stand for that shit. It's
no, my dick goes where it wants. My dick goes to the right.
Mine too. Mine too.
My dick is conservative. My dick is a Trumper, I think, because it goes so far to the right. but it's interesting, right, when that happens. I've had that happen where they said, you know, and I mean, listen, if truth be told, crowd work is the gem. You know, crowd work is my specialty. It's flawless.
Me too.
It's great. It's very strong. So, you know, I'll do it when it's fitted. You know, if I'm opening for somebody, I won't just go, hey, how you doing? Where you from? You know, it's poignant. It's to the point. It's for a specific purpose where I wanted to go. And when they tell me that, I'm like, can't you just add on to it? I mean, are you so restricted that you can't hear what I just said? You know,
it's their show. And find something else to say. Right. Yeah. Right.
Oh, we had a little choppy there, but we'll get it.
Yeah. No,
go ahead, Eddie.
No, I was just gonna say I agree. I've had headliners that will give you restrictions. I've had others that do the thing where they're like, "Hey, it's you." You know, the two ladies you named are awesome. I love them, and you're that's sort of that is the attitude that I believe that all of them should have. And you're right, it's a security thing. Like they're very insecure if they're like, I worked with a very famous ventriloquist one time, and I had a closing bit about a Prius, and so he gets up and he does like his first jokes are how he owns a Prius and a Hummer, and I say those two words in my last bit, and he gets off stage before like the next show. And he says to me, when I got off stage, before he goes up, he goes, did somebody just talk about a Prius? And I was like, yeah, that was me. And you could just tell, like, A, he didn't watch, and B, it made him just super mad. And I was like, yeah, but I didn't know he was going to tell that joke, especially the first time.
Of course.
I didn't know he was going to tell a joke. So I stopped. I didn't do it the rest of the weekend after that. I was like, all right, I won't do that again. And he was like, no. I was like, no, I'm not, you know. Yeah, I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb.
Yeah, because you're like, it's clearly an issue, asshole. Like, yeah.
So yeah. It was fine, and it was, you know, it all worked out. It was fine. I was like, okay, I won't do that again. So,
well, thanks, Andy. There's not that many successful ventriloquists that we can point out who it might be. You know what I'm saying? Can't be Otto and George.
That is exactly who I was going to say for fun. It must be Otto and George.
Yeah. Imagine Otto and George.
Or what is Lamb Chop? It was Lamb Chop. Okay. It was what's her name in Lamb Chop?
Well, that's amazing. It's good that, you know, we all have these challenges on the way up and all this kind of stuff and the things we go to. But the only thing I can say I'm mad. Go ahead, Danny.
You have to experience that. Otherwise, you don't learn that. Like, you have to experience the sort of thing of, you know, you have to experience somebody telling you, hey, watch what you say. Don't do this, don't do that. You have to experience somebody going, did you just tell a joke that I also tell? Otherwise, you don't learn, and then you don't realize, hey, you, like, I watch every comedian I work with because I love comedy. But you should also watch it in case somebody is stepping on somebody else's stuff. Like
of course,
you can take control of that, and you can be the person that says, you know what, I'm going to bow out this weekend and I won't do that bit because that seems like it's a great bit for him, or I like theirs better, or whatever reason. So, but you don't have to be a turd and be like, hey, you know that one bit you're doing? don't do it. Yeah. Like, I have a bit in, about Winnie the Pooh, and some guy did a Winnie the Pooh joke before me, and I've taken him on the road with me. And so in my head, I'm like, I just need to figure out a different way to tell that joke. That's all.
That's it. Right. That's it. It's just, and I mean, isn't that always the case too? Like, even if it's not, if you're dealing with nationally recognized headliners, even if you're just dealing with your peers or open micers, if you're at an open mic and somebody tells a joke and you're like, whoa, I kind of have something similar. Okay. Parallel thinking is what makes it work, because that's comedy, relatability, and connecting to people. Yep. And then it's just that inner challenge. Either you give up and get pissy and arrogant, or you're like, all right, how do I make my Spirit Airlines joke more specific, more, because we all have a joke about Spirit Airlines. I mean, let's get real. We all do. I feel like, I know my Wi-Fi is so slow. I look like a cam girl who's trying to. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on. Anyways. Okay.
There we go. A little. I had that. I had that happen. And especially when I can see why it happens, why sometimes comics will do that, because the only pet peeve I have when I'm closing the show is I hate when I go on like an hour into the show. You know, I hate when like a booker or somebody will just put like a host, four guest spots, you know, a co-feed, like you don't go up until like an hour into the show and you're like, man, by that time it's not even worth it. You know, the crowd's already beaten up, you know, so sometimes, you know, and I work with somebody and somebody went up and, you know, I do a bit about my wife being Asian, but this one guy did a guest spot and he's supposed to do 6 minutes. He did 10 minutes of the entire set was basically about his situation at an Asian massage parlor, and it was graphic. It was, you know, it was to the point.
Of course.
It wasn't very funny. You know what I mean? It was because, you know, like you were saying earlier, I don't mind if somebody's dirty, whatever they are, if it's funny, you know what I mean? But when somebody goes down a really dirty road and a laugh, or you know what I'm saying is the punchline. Oh, why do we just have to listen to all that?
Or when genitals are the punchline.
Yeah.
That's it. Or ejaculatory fluids are the punchline or something. Then you're like, well, that's just dirty with no purpose. That's it.
Right.
Like,
big difference, right?
Right.
Dirty with a purpose is good. Dirty without a purpose is just filth.
Right. I also don't think talking about sex is even dirty. Like, I mean, it's graphic, it's sexual, but I've heard plenty of sex bits that are brilliant, smart. Not dirty, not graphic. So I have a bit about my vibrator, buying my first sex toy, which, yes, on the surface is about sex and is about sexuality, but it's really a bit about my ongoing battle with Wells Fargo and my ability to always somehow be poor and have my bank embarrass me. Like, it's really it. Like, it starts off with that. But it completely pivots into me arguing with a Wells Fargo customer service rep. And it's a true story. And some people might think it's dirty because it's technically about my purchase of my first vibrator. But it's I don't go into using it. I don't go into detail about buying it. You know, it's more so about my inability to afford one than anything else. So, yeah.
It feels a lot like one of the stories you shared with us, Dougie.
Yeah.
Did you see all the story? Yeah, you.
Yes. I think it is. I think it is that, right? It's because as comics, we're wordsmiths. So if you could take a dirty subject and say it in a way, you know, and do it properly, it won't be dirty. Even though the content, if once thought of, can somehow be of a dirty content, but the way it's being delivered is completely, you know, professional and well put. And that's the difference, you know. And we do a writer's meeting at the Greenville Comedy Zone now every couple of weeks, me and Brandon Rainwater. And for the comics starting out, because a lot of new comics, and we're like, that's what you got to do. When you have a joke and you find all this filth in it, sometimes if you write it down, you could fill those words in with other words, you know, and make it actually a much funnier joke, you know. All right. Well, this is a really weird thing, but it's still in my mind. I don't know if you guys saw, we're going to go from doing comedy to talking about this shit, but. I don't know if you guys saw that Chinese airliner that crashed. Did you guys see the news?
Mm-hmm.
And amazing thing is there's footage of the plane falling from the sky. one more time, Ben.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look at this fucking. Oh. I don't know what I would be doing.
I read that and I couldn't figure out what, like, I mean, I know nobody ever knows exactly what happens, but, like, rarely are the crashes nosedives. You know what I mean? Like, that is like a you know what I mean? Like, a lot of crashes, like, oh, well, they hit a mountain or like, they lost control and they hit the water, whatever. But that was like a nosedive. I'm like, how does that happen?
Yeah, I found it too. It was poetic, if you will.
it has to be the power just went out. They lost all power. That's the only way a plane would fly or fall that like that. I just, you know, you can't help but think, you know, the, like, the people's thoughts. I mean, because every time I'm on a plane, there's turbulence. That's what I think is going to happen. Every time I'm in a fucking plane, that thing starts to shake a little bit and hit some bumps. That's what my mind is in my fucking head. It's going.
You're like, I'm taking
down
a nosedive like a Chinese missile. Let's fucking go. Like, that's it.
Oh, God. I start getting all freaked out and everything. Now, watching this, I'm flying on Thursday. This did not help, okay? This did not help my bravery getting on a Southwest flight this Thursday morning to Colorado.
Well, that's because you're going on a Southwest flight. Southwest is like the older stepbrother to Spirit.
Are you trying to help me, Brittany? Are you trying to make me more confident? I mean, fucking
listen, comic to comic, I'm here to be real with you. Really is what it is.
I always thought Southwest had newer fleet of planes than most places. So
I think they do. That's true. Actually,
I mean, I think anything's better than Spirit. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that's the thing is, I think the air, I mean, really, if you look at it, a lot of the airlines had the exact same planes. It's just about their service. So it's not, it's, you know, I have heard lots of, like, you know, Spirit and Frontier, and I know they're merging, you know, to whatever they're going to be. But, like, they're not, like, flying Cessnas and piling 100 people in there. They're still flying, like, 747s. But, you know.
That's true.
I agree that it is just a matter of, like, the service and what you mean. You know, you get herded like cattle on Southwest, but you're like, well, I did pay for this. So, like, you know, you did. I do.
Got your money's worth.
Yeah.
Well, I like Southwest because I like the process of, if I do have to cancel a flight, it goes into the bank and, you know, I have to worry about rescheduling, COVID cancellations and all that shit. So, hey, I don't know if you guys saw the news of the transgender swimmer. We all know the story about the dude. I mean, guy, he's just taking estrogen, but he won the NCAA swimming nationals, and at a show of defiance, the second, third, and fourth place winners stood off the podium by themselves. You know, this has gotten a lot of attention because, listen, I have a family member who's transgender. I'm all, you know, all for their the equality and the struggles that those folks are going through and the challenges and everything. But you know, like, if, like, Miss Nevada last year was a transgender, she won Miss Nevada. I think that's incredible, you know, for a man to look so fucking good, you know what I mean? So hot. And she looked hot. I mean, listen, I would have been fooled. It's not like I hadn't been fooled before in South Beach after doing Molly. But, you know, I'm just telling you that, you know, but there's a man who now looks like a woman who's sexier than a woman. That's an achievement. You know what I'm saying? But here you have a man who's competing against women and winning. And not just winning, but winning.
I don't think it's fair.
You don't?
Yeah,
No. Listen, I love the gays. I have friends who are transitioning, who have transitioned. Like, it's not even an issue of that. But, like, if we're going to come down to competitive sports, like a battle of physical ability, I am the biggest feminist on the planet, but I also understand that men are built different and men can carry things I can't carry. Men are faster than me. Men are stronger than me. It's hormonal. It's biological. So I see something like this and they're like, it's somebody who is not fully transitioned and has predominantly, I would assume predominantly, like, testosterone in their body. I can see how those cis straight female women would feel like, what the fuck? Like, by the way, I would think the same thing. Like, I would be like, yeah, that person is built different.
I mean, honestly, just the height, just the height.
Like, yeah.
The you know, it's and believe me, there's a family in my neighborhood, and they're all like, the lady is 6'4" and the husband is too, and so they're all really tall. So it's not that there aren't ladies that aren't that tall, but when you see, even though they're on a shorter platform, you can tell that the person who won, as they say, illegitimately, is definitely taller. And when you're taller, you're gonna get there faster because you are longer in the pool, and your legs are gonna kick more. It's like I say, it's more of a science thing of like, I saw a meme about it where they said, they were like, they showed where he placed when he was swimming against men.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it. He was like 421. And then he changes and swims as against women, and he's number one. And so it's like,
bullshit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And so that's what I was like. I was like, I would hate to know that, and I'm not saying it is, but I would hate to know that would be his reason. Wouldn't you, that'd be terrible. You found out his reasoning for transitioning would be like, well, if I compete against ladies.
Well, the thing about reasoning, it has to be either admitted to or testified on, as opposed to assumed or predetermined somehow. But the real question to me will be, what would be the after effects? Meaning, like, now, even though he's won, it's a shallow win. Like, in other words, I mean, she's standing off to the side where the other three women are off. Like, they're not respecting this as a win. This country is, for the most part, is not respecting it as a win. And you know, eventually it's got to, I don't care if you, whatever you have that, every time that guy looks, every time she looks at that statue on the mantle, you know, she's going to remember that, hey, I won this when I was a man, you know what I mean? And it's just like it's empty. It's like all this for nothing, which I think it may cause a lot more depression on the individual, you know, cause that's what the big thing is about transgender is a lot of depression. There's a lot of agonies and things like that within the persona that they're dealing with and the challenges. And I think that this person went this far, and I think it's kind of one of those things that are going to backfired in a sense. What the fuck do I know?
Yeah, I agree.
She said in the article that she just kind of blows it off. Like, whatever. I'm worried about my swimming. I'm not worried about, you know, what people say. And I'm like, there's no way you can get past the she's almost like, what controversy? I'm like, no, come on, dude.
Yeah, like, don't play stupid.
And I call everybody dude.
Like...
I call everybody dude.
Yeah, no, it's, I do too. I get it. And it's
pronouns.
Yeah. I also just think that this is part of like the world that we're moving into. I mean, it's sloppy, right? And I feel like nobody's giving anybody grace either. Like, if I were to like address the other side of the argument, it's like, listen, we're in a world right now where we have the most freedom to identify how we want and transition. And I honestly think that's great. And I also mostly think it's not my business however you want to be and whatever you want to have. I really just don't think it's my business. I've never really given a shit about it. Like, live your life. And I think that this is one of the areas we're navigating now, professional sports, Olympic level sports. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. What happens when we have something that's been traditionally this way and pretty static and pretty masculine, and now we have a transgender woman, you know, or like competing, and where is the line? We also can't force that athlete to compete on one side or another.
A lot of people talked about having their own class, like, in other words, transgender woman class.
Sure. You know what I mean? I agree with that.
And that, that'd be fine. You know, I just don't know how many you'd have competing. That's the, the idea.
Yeah,
but you should.
Therein lies the,
Yeah, it's like Special Olympics.
Wouldn't that make everybody feel better? Like, I feel like that everybody who feels slighted by this win would feel more comfortable by having them have their own class. But I also feel like, wouldn't people who are transitioning feel even more seen if they were able to identify and work and compete?
Listen, I think it would be a much more exciting thing. I would love to see transgender beauty pageants, because, you know what I'm saying? That would be entertaining. You know, that would be like, because you'd be able to see a whole array of folks, you know, And you feel bad if you're a judge. You can't say, well, you look too much like a dude. You know what I mean? You know, right. I mean, how are you going to critique the contestants? Well, why did you pick Mrs. Arizona? Well, I saw her balls. She teabagged me. But I think that would be, like, to me, entertainment wise, that would be entertaining, right? I mean, you know, just watching a beauty pageant of men that are trying to win a Miss America or Miss Universe beauty pageant. Why not? If we're going to do it, and then why not? People have things to do. Speaking of things to do, Pete Davidson brandishes Kim Kardashian's name on his chest. I mean, first of all, my friend I do my podcast with hates me, doesn't think he's funny. I love Pete Davidson. I love anybody who just stands out on their own and doesn't give a shit. I got to see Pete Davidson early when I was in New York at the Broadway Comedy Club one time, and he went on stage years ago. I think he was like 18, and I said, this guy is fucking hilarious. Look how young this guy is and how smooth he is on stage. And so I liked it. But the idea is, would you brandish? You know, this isn't a tattoo. This is like a prodding. This is like burning it into your skin. Yeah.
Cattle prod. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I don't understand it. I am I'm a ginger. I'm already really sensitive to everything, the heat, the cold, criticism, you name it. And so I don't have tattoos because I'm covered in freckles. So it'd be like connect the dots. I don't understand, and I love tattoos. I love them. I love the artwork of them. I'm an artist. I have an art degree. So I like, that's the only reality show I've ever watched is that Ink Master. Not the only one, but like for the most part, I watch Ink Master because I love the artwork of a tattoo. But I can tell you the idea of going, let's go get a cattle iron, you know, thing and put it on you. I'm like, no. And, you know what I mean? Like, and also the idea of like, this dude already publicly has dated people that he's having their name erased from him. Like, and you can't, and he's like, no, this is permanent. I'm like, you literally are in the worst love triangle ever publicly. And you're like, yeah, let's brand her name on me. I'm like, come on, man.
So. You think he was doing it just to piss off to Jeezy, to piss him off?
Oh, yes, God. Yes.
This is now not even about Kim. It's not even about Kim. It's about two pseudo alpha males in the public eye, somewhat equally famous for their own reasons, just duking it out for one of the quote unquote, whether you think so or not, hottest women in the game. That's it. Yeah. It's not even about Kim, which is almost my favorite. Crazy. Which is almost my favorite part about it. It's like, hey, Kim, relax. It's not even fucking about you. The first time in your entire career in life, it's not about you.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's insane to think that she is the most sane person amongst those three.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You know, but she is. You're like, well, she's. Yeah. It's kind of nuts.
Also, is it not like the Hollywood dating trifecta we all saw coming? Isn't it the most unsurprising dating love triangle? Like a maniac and a maniac and a maniac all meet at a premiere party.
Yeah.
Two of them hit it off.
I love that joke.
The other two get divorced. Everything's a fucking mess. One of them gets one of their names. Like, it's just so like, obviously Kim's with Pete, who's been with everyone, and Kim's been with everyone, and Kanye's out of his mind. Like, it's so textbook at this point.
Yeah, that is perfect. Three maniacs meet at a Hollywood party.
Really?
That's gonna be a new Quentin Tarantino movie. It's got the makings.
Yeah, I'm available. Let me put it that way.
Well, you know, Pete was supposed to go to space with Jeff Bezos. Which definitely would have made him. He was like, there was a storyline. Now he's officially
so the luckiest man on earth.
You know, he's banging everybody. Now he's going up fucking space. But they changed the date, and he's way too busy getting brandished and banging chicks to be able to make the next rescheduled flight. But I don't know. Would you go up?
What would he do in space?
He'd probably end up fucking an alien.
Right, like I think he would be funny.
He would be the only person in the capsule banging somebody. Like this literally. Girl didn't even get on the rocket when we got in here, and he's going to be up there, the Million Mile High Club.
That would be the next piece of celebrity gossip: is that he cheats on Kim with a fucking alien. Like, and everybody would lose their mind. NASA would sponsor. Like, what is he doing? And I think, like I said, I think he's funny. I think he's talented. I've heard he's a very nice person. But it's like, what are you doing going to space, brah? Just go sell edibles to kindergartners. Like, just do what the Lord wanted.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm sorry. I'm just fired up about this. Like, what business do you have being on planet Jupiter? Like, relax. Like,
my question real quick is, he's so young and all this is happening so young. Where's he going to go from here? Like, you know what I mean? It's like going on a date with a girl for the first time and you're in a threesome. And then what are you going to do on your second date? You know, like right. What, you know, what does this guy do? And when he gets older, he's going to be like depressed as shit. He's going to be like, I should do all this shit now. Look,
he's going to be the most boring person ever when he's older. He's going to like honestly manage like a retirement home.
Yeah. You know, I it's funny on the last thing we talked about, and you were like, I just look at it like it's none of my business. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how I look at like a lot of times I'm like, why do they follow celebrities and do all this crap? Because I don't, you know, I don't need to know about his love life or her love life and that sort of thing. Like, I know that as a country, that's what we do. We follow these people. We eat it up, but it's you know.
Well, I'm just glad we're not
following. I've never cared for celebrity gossip. I don't care for gossip, period, let alone celebrity gossip. I don't care.
I'm just glad we're not following Chrissy Teigen's every fucking move. I don't care about Chrissy Teigen. I don't care about her. I think she's talentless. I think she's horrible as an entertainer. And I like what's his name, her husband's, a couple of his songs, but
John Legend.
John Legend.
Oh, yeah. I love John Legend. He's so great.
Yeah. But enough for that. Okay. Well, speaking of this stuff, I don't know if guys know this, but they're actually looking at making daylight savings time permanent, which I'm all for.
Me too.
Right. I like it when it's light out later. I don't care how dark it is in the morning when I wake up, because I usually don't wake up that early anyway.
Yeah, they started it years ago. I think it became a law in 1915. And I like that's the one article I didn't have to read that you sent me, because I had already read a bunch of articles about it. Because when I heard, I mean, the Senate literally passed it like unanimously, and none of our government officials are ever unanimous on anything. So I think as a country, we're pretty much like, we're all real sick of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I think that's so funny, by the way, that you're like, we're never unanimous on anything, but setting the clocks back permanently, that creates unity.
Yeah, seriously, that's the only thing that they've been unanimous on in like stupid. Since forever.
Yeah.
It's insane. In college, my wife and I, when I met her, we kept screwing up the daylight savings times, either in the spring or the fall, and we would never remember. And I was late to things, like, you know, again, it was only a couple of times, but it was like, and you find out at the end of the day, like, you know, today was daylight savings time. I was like, I had no idea. That's why I was
late. I have no idea. I'm living back in Miami and I'm living with my parents again. And my mother is like obsessed with things like daylight savings time because she loves structure and she's a white woman. So like, she's just always like, we're falling back. We're springing forward. We're going ahead. We're losing an hour. And I'm like, I need money. Just please Venmo me $100. Like, I don't care. I don't. She's like, did you change your clocks? I'm like, Mom, I'm a millennial. My clocks don't need to be changed. I have iPhones, iPads, themselves. And iMacs. Yeah. They change on their own. Like, no.
Yeah, I don't get. You're clearly not getting your time from your microwave and your oven. And that's
correct. Yeah. I'm not analog, okay?
It's so funny. I remember I dated somebody that was actually arguing with me once, this is years ago, that you have to do it at a certain time at night. You know, like the night up. I'm like, I think it's okay if I do.
You gotta get up.
That's my mother. She's like, we gotta get up. Like waking me up. She's like, we gotta change the clocks. Like, Mom, we all have iPhones. They're fine. Like, go back to bed.
You know, This was way before the iPhone. This is like years ago. And I'd say, it doesn't matter if I change it in the morning because I'm sleeping through it. As long as I know when I get up in the morning, I'll just fucking change the time. It doesn't have to be done at 2 a.m. Oh, no, you better do it. Or what? Is the fucking world going to stop fucking rotating? Is something going to happen? It's like Y2K. Everything's going to go fucked up now all of a sudden.
Yeah, like in the grand scheme of things, an hour is nothing. An hour is nothing. Yeah. My 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. look the same. I'm a fucking comic. They're the same.
I lost an hour of work during daylight savings time, the spring forward. I was on the radio in the middle of the night, the DJ, and I like got sick. I was there from midnight till 6 a.m. and it was like, well, you're losing an hour of work. I'm like, y'all aren't gonna pay me. They're like, well, you're not gonna be here for 6 hours. It's like, that is not my fault.
That's capitalism. Yeah. That's not even daylight savings time. That's capitalism.
Yes.
Well, this year I got kind of screwed because I was in Panama City doing shows, which is central time for Florida. And so it took me seven and a half hours to drive home on Sunday. So not only did I lose an hour with the time change, right? And I'm actually getting home like seven and a half. Like it was like the worst. An hour from the time change and an hour because of the daylight saving. 2 hours in one day I lost. I felt screwed.
Yeah.
I didn't feel right for a week. So speaking of what's next, Jussie Smollett gets freed after only spending a few days in jail while his appeal case is being heard. I think Jussie Smollett and Pete Davidson have two different futures, of course. I don't know if they'll ever collide. Maybe Pete Davidson, that's how top it'll fuck Jussie Smollett one day. Can you imagine Pete Davidson
and then they'll both win the Olympics as transgender men?
they team up as a bisexual fucking bilateral bisexual shooting team. I don't know.
Conjoined. They'll get conjoined.
Yeah, they'll become conjoined. Yeah, Pete Davidson will brandish Jussie Smollett's penis onto his chest and they'll go around as a team. Don't tell me you didn't think of that, Andy. You look at him with that face when I said penis on his chest.
I didn't.
You never had a penis on your chest? I mean,
my brain does not work like everybody else's. It's very weird. I know. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
I was about to say, I've had a lot of penises on my chest, and it was during 2005 to 2009 when I was in college. So there you go.
That's when it happens. When I used to mentor kids in the boys club, in boys clubs of America, I used to tell them that. I said, listen, when you go to college, that's when your numbers shoot up. You know, you may have low numbers before you get into college, but when you get to college, that number just
says. Yeah, I lost count in college. I lost count. Yeah.
How about you, Andy?
But isn't it funny how it gradually gets slower into your late 20s? Well, for me, it does.
My wife.
That's a politically safe answer for Andy. Yeah,
No, it is not. It is 100% true.
That's awesome.
I'm not making that up at all. Yeah.
That's great.
I relate to that. I've been with my wife for a quarter of a century, man. So I understand what that means.
Yeah, yeah. That means one.
My parents have been together for 45 years.
That's awesome.
45 years. And I know they've only been with each other because they're miserable. My mom is laughing in the background, if you can hear it. That's how I know they've been faithful. They're miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting every fucking minute of it. I know. I used to always say that my mom and dad, this is actually, it's so funny. It's like a new bit I'm writing because I do about family. But, you know, it's like my mom, God bless, my mom was not well and she was in hospice for a few days, you know, when everything was ending. And my sister-in-law looked at my mom, she looks at my mom and says, you know, mom, you know, my dad's name was Dionisio. And my mom, she says, mom, you know, Dionisio's up there waiting for you. You know, dad's waiting for you. And I looked and I go, I don't think he's up there waiting for her. I don't think he's fucking waiting. I think he's running and hiding. But nevertheless, that's family. Russia asked for Alaska back. Should we give it back? And if we don't give it back, what should we give them back instead? Or instead of Alaska?
It's TikTok influencers.
Yes. Okay. That's a bargain. We could talk. We could say that.
I agree. Let me tell you, as a parent of children and two girls, one of them's 14, like, I have been to the schools, I have volunteered at schools, and the number of kids where that's their, you know, over the years, it's been like, well, I want to be a YouTube creator, and I want to do this, and now they want to be, I'm an Instagram model, or I want to be an influencer. Like, imagine that's the job title that you really want to be. Like, that was never, like, if you told some guy who used to be a coal miner, now you could be an influencer. Like, what the hell is that? Like, he'd lose his mind. He would lose his mind if you told him that there's a job where you...
Yeah. My grandparents have been dead for years. Like, I haven't had grandparents for years. That's a whole other, that's for therapy mostly. But,
that's why we're here.
If I told my grandmother, like, I'm going to be an influencer, she'd beat the living shit out of me. Like, she would be like,
and rightfully so. And rightfully
so. Like, could you imagine? Like being in kindergarten and they're like, we're dreaming about our futures today. Like, back in my day, we wanted to be astronauts and scientists. And now kids are like, I just want to twerk on my fucking phone and make money off of that. Get out of here. So I say, yeah, Russia, you can take Alaska or whatever the hell. And you know what? We'll give you only if you agree to take all of our TikTok influencers with you.
Yeah. Well, they'll honestly, do what the Chinese did.
I never understood how we took Alaska, you know, like, because, or got Alaska. I'm sure I should do a little more research on that. But, like, it totally seems like it's part of Canada. So how did, you know, it doesn't seem like it's part of Russia. It seems like it would have been part of Canada. So, like, why did we go, you know, we should get a state that's not connected.
Well, see, the explorers from America that went up to Canada knew the owners of the improv up there. So they got stage time out there in Alaska. So they got to do a lot of shows out there. And,
nice.
And the Russians were like, what is this shitsky comedy ski? And then Alaska said, look, you know, the Americans said, we're going to buy this fucking thing. And then the Russians went, why? It's cheap. It's all ice. What do you want? Yeah, they got passed. And then so they bought it, because Russia still regrets that, because it was a horrible decision. They sold Alaska very cheap because they thought it was just an iceberg. You know, they didn't really know all the gold that was underneath Alaska and the oil, of course. But good deal.
Wow.
But, but see, it's not what you know, it's who you know. All right, let's do this. Time for you sent them Florida, yeah. Hey, by the way, you know that Idaho now is taking, like, Oregon. I think it was Oregon. Oregon is now, they have more Oregon man stories than Florida man stories. So Oregon man stories. Like, I posted on my TikTok at Funny Fiduciary. I posted on this. I was driving. I'm here in Florida, and some guy was holding his fucking mattress on the top of his roof. He had his arm on it. So the old me was going to roll down the window and go, hey, stupid. You know, you think that chicken wing of an arm is going to keep that fucking mattress from flying off, stupid?
You wave at him. That's what
Wave. Hey, what time is it, buddy? You know, but it just ignorance, you know. It's like, and to this day, I saw a guy at the bus stop with a mask on, and I'm like, this is Florida. I mean, you're in fucking Florida. All right, let's do the news as a joke. Here's our first story of the day. Dentist broke his patient's teeth to make millions installing crowns. one likes going to the dentist, and you don't like to hear stories about this, about somebody's purposely cracking your teeth to put a crown in.
I don't like feeling like somebody that's as big of a pussy to become a dentist is conning me. That's embarrassing. That's just my first take. I'm sorry. My dentist is a pussy.
Yeah. Everybody's in the waiting room. Hey, what do you got to get done? I got to get a crown. How about you? Yeah, I got to get a crown. Yeah, me too. My teeth cracked. Your teeth cracked too? Yeah, my teeth cracked too. Holy shit. Good thing we're at this dentist.
Yeah. That was crazy. I read that, and the guy was like, he would find the tiniest little thing and convince people they had a crack, and then he would right then crack it, take another x-ray and go, oh, they're really going to want to see this. I bet they will. I need some evidence of this crap. This is insane. Yeah.
And amazing, the guy ends up selling his practice. And then the person who took over the practice ended up looking at the medical history and going, what the fuck is going on? And she figured it out. But guy spent some time in jail.
He's on the hook for 10 years for every time he filed one of these things, and 5 years. And it's like hundreds of these things. So he should get a lifetime sentence and killed at the same time. Like, it sounds like a terrible
thing. I agree wholeheartedly. I agree.
Yeah. That or somebody should drill him fillings in every teeth without any Novocaine.
Yeah.
Right. Make him like from the Marathon Man, the movie, the Marathon Man. Bring that dentist back. Another story: swimming pool built for monkeys in Lop Buri in Thailand to prevent aggression from the heat. Hey, the monkeys don't want to get them pissed off, man. I mean, you could be in this part of the country, and then go ahead.
China, right?
I think it was Thailand.
Was it? Yeah, Thailand. Sorry. Yeah. You don't want to be making angry monkeys. There's angry monkeys all the time in those countries that'll like come steal your stuff and smack you upside the head. And they're like, whatever, man, I'm a monkey. What are you going to do? They do it all the time. There's videos all the time of them like stealing stuff.
What a built-in excuse they have.
Yeah, they're like, hey, let's take a picture. And then I've seen them, like, grope women. You're like, my gosh, what is up with the monkeys? Yeah.
That's not a monkey. That's a guy in a monkey suit. They had a video of it. They showed it. And they were terrifying these kids. I was watching it last night. It was a monkey on a big telephone pole beating the shit out of a seagull. Like, he had caught a seagull or something, and he was banging it on the telephone pole to kill it. And the kids were watching. Mom, what's going on? The mom's like, yeah, this is the wild, son. The monkey caught
the
bird.
It's his toy. Yeah, it's a fake seagull. That's his toy. That's his toy seagull.
He's fine. He's well adjusted. Nobody's concerned.
It's that stupid fucking Limu from the Liberty Mutual commercials.
You know why they like you know, Geico has the gecko because Geico sounds like the word gecko. You know why they have the emu? Because Liberty Mutual, I figured this out one day, and I'm sure everybody knew it the moment they saw it, but I finally was like, wait a minute, that's just L-I and M-U from Liberty and Mutual, and they were like, Limu, what can we do with that? Let's have an emu. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, that's so dumb.
Yes. Actually, it's a pretty good idea for marketing, and it must have worked, because guess what? I no longer have State Farm. I got Liberty Mutual now.
There you go.
I'm waiting for you to say they're our sponsor today, and I'll be like, I'm sorry.
We have faith in American marketing all over again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love that commercial because it's Emu and Doug. And, of course, it's me.
Oh, yeah.
But I had, you know, I had, and now I got Liberty Mutual and the technology. We have that thing on our phone which measures our driving and shit. You know, and it's crazy because it's fucked up. It's geared for women because my numbers are better. My stopping is better. My acceleration is better, and my nighttime or daytime driving is better than my wife's, but they still could put my wife first. This is bullshit, okay? They saw me making fun of my Asian wife. They're like, no, we're not going to let you have the stereotype of the Asian driver worse than you. We're going to put her number one. So
I'm not going to comment on that. I'm just telling you.
Don't comment. You want to stay clean and get corporate work.
Just that is not it. Myself. I'm just not making fun of. I'm not making fun of your wife for you.
That's your job, Dougie.
It's my job. Ex-stripper running for Congress in Philadelphia. Elect the hose, they say. Or at least some of that money I was giving on the stage was actually going to something better. Because every stripper in South Florida I ever gave money to was always going to college. We're all going to college. None of them ever went
to college. Which is honestly just a waste of money for everybody. That's a waste of your money and her money. Let's be honest. So, also, they're lying to you because all strippers in South Florida have bright futures, which cover at least a fraction of all college tuition. So they're lying.
Yes. I paid a lot of rents. You know, you have that conversation. You're in the back room.
You covered a lot of textbooks.
Yeah. What's wrong, honey? Just a little concern. I got to pay my rent next week. Oh, yeah. How much you short? $500. That's okay. Don't offer me. Right. I wasn't.
Yeah. I wasn't. Yeah, exactly. I'm actually going to try to teach you to earn it on your own, bitch. How about that? Yeah. Now,
That or you could be one of those guys waiting outside in the parking lot to 2 a.m., 2:30 a.m. Where is she come out? He's the candy tits come out yet? Our last story of the day. I don't know if this is the glass one. Sorry. Glass tumbler found in a woman's urinary bladder 4 years after her use as a sex toy. Anybody see that glass tumbler?
I did see this, and I just got over a UTI that I've been battling for 4 months from a cause that I really don't know. I couldn't pinpoint it. And I swear to God, I saw this news story, and I was like, shoved up there, right. I was like, did I forget? And did I accidentally try to recycle through my snatch? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, totally. It made me think. This was a news article that made me think. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. It is insane. But if you talk to like people who work in the ER, like they will tell you of the things that are up people's everything.
Oh, like my God, yeah.
And I am completely baffled. Like it was a glass tumbler. What is going on, lady? Like they sell things, and there's got to be something. Like you're not going to make it easy for anybody after that once you put a glass tumbler up there.
Like what I thought was, is it like a southern form of birth control, like sticking a mason jar up there?
Like an IUD.
You know? Right, like an IUD. No? Right, like a southern poor man's IUD. I don't know. I'm just trying to consider the options. That's it.
I'm just wondering, after she had her sexual pleasure, if she was going, where did I put that glass? Where the fuck did I put
I'm thirsty.
Glass?
Right. She probably said, I'm thirsty. I thought I had a glass of water in here. Well, who took my glass of water?
Right. And she woke up the next day and was like, it's time for me to make my rolled oats for the morning and have a healthy breakfast. And she looked around and there were no glass tumblers anywhere.
What happened?
I don't understand how it was there for 4 years and like not have problems peeing. Like, I don't understand. Or everything else.
Or the glass breaking, for God's sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 years is a long time. That's a presidency. It's a college. That's a long time.
Isn't it? That's like how long, if you get an IUD,
IUDs are like 7 years. Yeah, they're like minimum 7 years. Some of them are like 10 years. Like it's like a lease on a friggin' car. It's like a commitment. It's a down payment. You can have it like a mortgage.
Yeah, you can have it taken out earlier, but I just was curious, like if they put one in there, they're like, oh yeah, well, usually they come out after X number of years.
Yeah, it's a commitment for sure. So 4 years with a tumbler jar is like an IUD light. It's like an appetizer IUD, essentially.
I don't know about light. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, light is used lightly. Yeah.
The tumbler, not a shot glass. That's interesting. I wonder what the residual value of my IUD is after 7 years. Can I trade it in for a better one?
I think it goes down for sure.
Speaking of money, if you're short of money, in our last story of the day, Americans can get $5 million for informing on Russian oligarchs. That's right. We're just want to rat out a Russian oligarch who's got reach all over the globe and can have you struck to a fucking telephone pole and beaten by a monkey with a Seahawk in his hand. Go ahead and tell him for $5 million.
Yeah, I got to tell you that if there is even one American that can spot or spell oligarch, I would be amazed. Like, I can't imagine that there's anybody in America who would be like, you know what, that looks like a Russian oligarch. Like, when I hear the word, I have no idea how to spell it. If I see it, I'm still like, I don't know.
Yeah. You could have a bunch of Americans going to tops of buildings and taking gargoyles off the top. I got one of those Russian gargoyles.
Yeah, exactly. Or somebody will call and report one. They're like, hey, I saw one of them Russian Ogilvy's. And like, where were they? Hey, Taco Bell.
Ogilvy, that's an advertising agency. Ogilvy.
That's what I'm saying. It's so dumb. Like somebody's going to call in, but it's all one of them Rush and Ogilvy's, and they're at Taco Bell. Like, I don't think you know what an oligarch is. I didn't say that.
I don't think you know what an Ogilvy is either. Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I spotted one of those oligarchs who was having breakfast with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, well... Nice. You know, I'd like to. I think I might be. I knew a lot of Russian mob when I was in South Beach for many years. I got to know some of those characters. So I knew some of the behaviors that they have. So maybe I'll keep my eye out and I'll be $5 million richer. But I still won't know anybody at the improv to get in. I could probably save the fucking world from World War III, but I still can't be featuring at the improv this week. Anyway, buddy, that's all we have time for here on the Wake and Play with Dougie show. I want to thank my good friends Andy Forrester and Brittany Brave for joining us on today's show. And of course, let's see
Hello.
Where you guys going to be. Brittany, you got anything coming up you'd like to share with the audience?
Yeah, I do. I have a show on Miami Beach on March 30th. I have my parents talking in the background, despite the fact that they know that I'm on a podcast. Amazing. Time to move out. I have a show on Miami Beach on Wednesday, March 3rd. I'm suicidal. I'm on show March 30th, Lincoln Eatery on Miami Beach on Lincoln Road. It's called Laughs on Lincoln. It's a very fun time. There's an after party and whatnot that I'm performing all over it at Brittany Brave on all social media. Yeah.
Awesome. How about you, Andy?
I got some breweries coming up. I'm going to Gutty's Comedy Club in Minneapolis in May, and in April I'm going to Greenwood, Indiana, Gutty's Comedy Club. But I'll be at the Cabarrus Brewing Company in Concord, North Carolina, on March 31st and April 2nd. I'm doing this show down in Holly Ridge, North Carolina. It's at a barbecue joint, and this will be my first barbecue joint. Well, it's not. I've actually been down there to Porky's in Florida, so. So right. I'm the second barbecue joint I've performed at. So, but it sold out in like a week. So, yeah, I was excited. Nice. That could be all of like 10 seats. I don't know. I'm just teasing.
Yeah. Exactly. We sold out as comedians and we're like, hell yeah. And then people afterwards are like, it's four people and two of them are deaf. And we're like,
yeah,
hell
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't care. Yeah. Don't care. Yeah, exactly. I'll take it.
Yeah, I got a standing ovation. Everybody just went to the bathroom at the same time.
That's right.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Like I said, I'll be at the Looney's Comedy Corner this weekend, Thursday through Saturday in Colorado Springs. I also got some dates at Little Rock Looney Bin in April. Go to DougAlmeida.com for more dates coming up, all kinds of things. Again, thanks to Andy Forrester and Brittany Bray for joining me today. And thank you guys for watching and listening. And please do us a big favor. Share the show with all your friends so we can get more followers. And join and subscribe our YouTube channel. Just Google it, of course. As Kamala Harris would say, Google it. And also follow us on Instagram and on our fan page here on Facebook, where you're probably watching us. So we appreciate that. Share it all, guys. God bless. Let's pray for the Ukrainian people that this nonsense comes to an end soon. And for all those people that treacherously flew to the ground in China. Feel bad for those people. They really do. Anyway, guys, God bless. And we'll see you next week right here at the same spot. Take care.